Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Three and Out podcast. I'm Kyle Reams. Today, I'm joined by Alex Amster.
What's up, guys?
And Jada Pant.
How y'all doing?
Today, we are welcoming on Cowboys aficionado Spencer Felix. Spencer Hot Takes Felix. So we're going to be starting with a nice, friendly little debate going on here. We have resident Dallas Cowboys fan, Spencer Felix.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
And
before we start, I would like to have four words for all you guys.
About them Cowboys!
So the Cowboys
beat
the Saints 13-10 Thursday Night Football.
Whoa! I mean, that's just, you know, such a great win. You know, shows greatness. Dak Prescott, 13 points off the bat. That's just greatness.
Yeah,
if I've ever seen it.
My Dallas Cowboys, we have the best defense in the league. I feel like we have the best linebacking duo. Leighton Vander Esch, rookie of the year.
No
doubt about it. Jalen Smith, hardest hitting linebacker in the NFL. Byron Jones, lockdown corner, held Michael Thomas to about 40 yards. You know, I was not surprised by the win at all.
You weren't.
Dak Prescott did what he had to do. I think that we're really in a good shape for the playoffs, you know.
Why don't I just give you a stat, you know what I mean? I mean, I just want to give you a stat about your Dallas Cowboys. I mean, this is probably not hard to think about, but, you know, they haven't got past the divisional round since 1995. And I just, you know, were you alive in 1995?
I feel like we're living in the present right now. I feel like we're talking about the Cowboys-Saints game, not about the Cowboys' history. So
what makes the Cowboys so great?
Definitely our defense. I feel like Dak Prescott does what he has to do. Zeke, best running back in the NFL.
Randy Gregory, you know.
Yeah,
you know, Jerry Jones.
He really messed up, but, like, you know,
Jerry
he's
Jones
really
just,
talented.
He just shows his morals. I mean, you know, Randy Gregory, Zeke, Jerry Jones, you know,
he's
had
a
no
man
morals.
Who believes in second chances. Like, that's what America's all about.
And we actually brought on Charlie Wong to give his take. What do you think?
I'm sort of shocked. I really came into Thursday night thinking it was going to be a shellacking. I really thought the Saints
a shellacking.
A beatdown, but Rod Marinelli and that Cowboys defense really shocked me, and I think the Saints were caught off guard, and I just feel like that was a fluke. I don't think it was anything.
I feel like if you had really been following the Cowboys this year, you would not have been shocked by that defensive performance. I could really see us going into L.A. or New Orleans and really shocking them.
All right, so what do you think about DeMarcus Lawrence?
I feel like it really just shows the aggressive mindset of our team and really show no fear, and we fly around and just... We hit him in the mouth, and they don't hit back.
What do you think about the Jalen Smith helmet-to-helmet? That was not called.
If it's not called, it's not a penalty. That's all I got to say.
Finally, what's your prediction for the Cowboys this year?
I think NFC Championship, Super Bowl, if we're free. I would be lying if I did not say I think we were going to win the Super Bowl.
All right.
This is a new team, and I feel like we're going to put those playoff woes behind us this year. No doubt about it.
Don't know what I expected. Big thanks to Spencer Felix and Chili Wong for coming on, talking about the Cowboys. Now on to some more recap from the last week, beginning with Vikings at Patriots.
And the greatest achievement of all time.
Brady's
Tom Brady, 1,000 rushing yards.
He did it. That's all he wanted.
This guy, this is a stat that just clinches it for me. This man is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it only took him the most games of all time for a quarterback.
3.5 yards per game in his career.
I mean, listen, those Brady sneaks add up. What can I say? Those Brady sneaks. Look, we're down at the one. Fourth and one.
Patriots
game on the line.
Yeah, we saw Belichick and Thielen kind of getting into it. Don't clap at that.
Yeah, it was hype. Are you telling me, like, this... Thielen was like a punk, you know what? He was like, oh, I'm like suddenly good now. I'm going to act like I don't have, like, I'm going to...
Respect for the greatest
coach. Yeah, thank you. And, like, Belichick was like, you know what? We're just locking you down. You're just seen as a chess piece to me, and I can just, like, completely eliminate you. He wasn't even a factor in the game.
The Patriots are great. That's no secret. But, yeah, anyways.
Maybe it's a secret to Spencer, but that's it.
Next on to Sunday Night Football. Chargers Steelers. This is one of the... This is the craziest ending to a game this season.
I'm so happy the Steelers' luck finally ran out.
Have you ever seen three straight offsides?
He told them to go offsides on purpose.
Still.
It was a version of icing the kicker with no timeouts. In fact, it was very innovative. It's an innovative strategy.
Work.
And the money badger, I mean, he was a little disappointing. I got to say, even though he hit that short game.
We were all willing to bet money
the
Steelers, that they were going to miss.
The Steelers, they had won so many close games by under 5 points. They have been so lucky, and really, this game didn't turn their way. This is the first game I've really been like, whoa, this didn't turn their way in the fourth quarter, especially at home on primetime Sunday Night Football. This is the first time I've really been able to say that in a while, probably in the last two seasons.
And on to some more general NFL news, starting off with Kareem Hunt. So TMZ released a video from February of this year of Kareem Hunt attacking a woman in a hotel. There was a fight going on. He kicked her while she was down, and upon seeing this, the Chiefs released him. They said he lied about what had happened, and then the video. They hadn't seen the video.
Amster, let's hear your thoughts on this.
I just really think it's an unfortunate situation. I think it was really blown out of proportion by the fact that he lied to the team. I don't think he would have gotten cut. At the end of the day, though, you obviously can't put your hands on a woman. It's just not acceptable. And
then now onto some previews for next week's games. We're going to start with Ravens versus Chiefs. And I think that this should be an interesting game. I mean, especially with the absence of Kareem Hunt.
I mean they lost by – only won by a touchdown.
The Chiefs looked noticeably worse against the Raiders last week.
I mean, as any team would, losing arguably a top-four player
and
on that team.
Another thing is they didn't have any – time to game plan and add Spencer Ware back into the game plan. But I think this is going to be a close game. Ravens have a solid defense.
I'm going to take the Chiefs as well, although I will say the Ravens have been putting up a good fight, and Lamar Jackson might be saving Joe Flacco's job. I just think if Lamar Jackson can take care of the ball, watch those turnovers a little bit, then they have a chance to win, although I'm going to take the Chiefs.
And now we will be talking about Rams at Bears. And I mean, if Trubisky comes back, this is going to be a great game. I mean, he's day-to-day right now. It really
never thought I'd say Mitchell Trubisky was the difference for the Bears. Never thought I'd have to say that.
I mean, it's really not like he's like Brady or Rodgers. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference.
Well, Chase Daniels.
I would say Chase Daniel has been playing atrocious. Obviously, they played very bad against the Giants. So I'm still going to take the Bears, though. I just think Khalil Mack will be suffocating against the old Andrew Whitworth. And I just don't think Rams are going to get loose. I think McVay is going to get a little angry this game when Vic Fangio just out-schemes him.
The Bears are really the only NFC team I can trust to stop the Rams.
Right, and the whole Rams offense, if you look at the tape of the Rams, it's inside zone right, inside zone left, and then they set up a play action with only two receivers running routes. That's not going to work against
Are you saying Sean McVay is not a good play caller?
He's doing what works. It's like the NFL saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They have a dominating running game based off their O-line.
I don't think that's an NFL saying,
Amster. I think that's just a saying.
Okay, well, I mean, if Sean McVay is calling inside zone, it's getting 5 yards per carry on first down, and it sets up Goff for a really nice play action with Woods and Cooks. He's going to keep calling. I mean, he's a great offensive mind. He definitely knows how to scheme around his players But I think Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, Roquan Smith, and Khalil Mack, they are going to shut down Todd Gurley in the run game.
I definitely think that the Rams are due for a letdown at some point soon. I think it's a much slower game than they're used to, and I think that's going to do it for them.
I think I got the Rams personally. I can't take a team that lost the Giants.
Well, this is all conditional on if Trubisky plays. I think that the Bears are going to steal this one.
Watch me be right.
And now it is time for our fantasy 2-minute drill. We're going to be starting off with Amster starts of the week.
Okay, first I'm going to go to Matt Ryan at Green Bay. Now Green Bay is a mess. They just fired their coach. I'm going to look for him to take advantage of that matchup. Then I'm going to go to Joe Mixon versus weak Chargers run D. James Conner, 2 touchdowns last week. I look for Mixon to have a good bounce back week. Then I'm going to go to wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, who I also expect to bounce back at the 49ers. They have a weak secondary, and Case Keenum has been playing pretty well. Then I'm going to go to the tight end out of Indianapolis, Eric Ebron, who has been targeted a whopping 16 times the last game and had season-high 10 catches. And with Jack Doyle still out for the year, he's set to ball. And then lastly, I'm going to go to Houston D at home versus the Colts, who just got shut out, and this Houston D is being on fire. So those are my starts for the week.
Now for some waiver wire pickups, I'm going to be starting off with Jalen Samuels. He's going to be the starting running back for the Steelers with James Conner out. He also has tight end eligibility in all Yahoo leagues, so that's a sneaky good pickup there as a tight end. But also as a running back, he's a good pass-catching back and should fill in for James Conner. Next, I have Jeff Wilson Jr. He's the running back for the 49ers. Matt Breida's out, so Jeff Wilson should come in. He had 19 points last week, so he should look to keep up those numbers. Next, I have Justin Jackson. Austin Eckler didn't play that well in relief of Melvin Gordon against the Steelers, and Justin Jackson had a couple of long runs, can catch passes, so he's a solid running back there. And then finally, I have Dontrell Inman of the Colts. His role has increased exponentially in the past couple of weeks, as he has become Andrew Luck's number 2 target, and he should continue to see a lot of targets. And now we will be moving on to our college football section here on the 3 and Out podcast. We're going to start off with some recaps of the championship games from last week, beginning with Oklahoma versus Texas, and Oklahoma pulled it out.
Yeah, I mean, they took care of business for sure. It was really a 5-point game. I know they got a touchdown late, but, you know, I think Texas was just an easy opponent in general. Like,
well, I mean, Texas.
I think Texas is a good team.
No, I think they're good in the Big 12. I don't think they're good nationally. I mean, this is the same team that lost to Maryland at the beginning of the season.
This is also the same team that beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, I feel like Oklahoma's defense really showed some improvement.
I think, yeah, the defense definitely did improve with that clutch safety at the end of the game. But I don't know. I just think they still let off a decent amount of points. And this was probably by far one of the worst offenses they played in the Big 12. I mean, Texas doesn't have as good of an offense as some of the other teams they played, but because they're more defensive based for sure. Like you
Texas
can't
is, watch. They're a very talented team.
Yeah, they
I
are.
I mean,
very
they're
talented.
A good team. I mean, defense did play pretty well, but I mean, this is just this was what they had to do. I mean, they had to win, and they did, and they avenged their only loss of the season so far.
I think the most impressive part of the game was the fact that they won in Dallas, right? So, like, I mean, that's basically a home game for
quote
Texas.
Unquote neutral.
And without Marquise Brown, second half, the best receiver.
Mm-hmm. Lincoln Riley solidifying himself as one of the greats in his 2 years, two Big 12 championships, two playoff appearances,
two Heisman winners.
Yeah.
But, like, you know what? Texas is my pick to win the Big 12 next year. I don't know about you guys.
All right. They're Ellinger back, totally
with
agree.
With Ellinger ran.
And then on to the best championship game. We had Pitt versus Clemson.
No, worst championship game ever.
42-10.
How does Pitt make it? How weak does the ACC have to make it?
Wasn't it 14-10 at one point? Okay. Trevor Lawrence really did not play that well.
I mean, he's a freshman at the end of the day. And
He had less than 125 yards.
Well, also, it was like they were up by a lot, so then he didn't get a chance to pat his
But
stats.
I'm just looking at the stats right now. The Pitt quarterback, Pickett, had 0.5 yards per attempt.
Pitt just had a weak quarterback, but definitely the weakest part of that defense is their secondary, which is going to make an interesting playoff matchup.
Clemson's run game looks really good, though.
Listen, they have the best shot in the playoff by far to defeat Alabama. Yeah. There's not a doubt in my mind.
I would watch out for Notre Dame, though.
Of course you would.
Solid team.
Of course you would. And then next we have the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State. I mean, this was closer than I thought.
It was a
45-24 over Northwestern.
I think we can all agree the only chance they had to make the playoff was like a 40-point win or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
And they just didn't come through.
I think it was just too little,
like that,
too late.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
Dwayne Haskins had 500 yards.
Heisman winner right there. Mm. Number one pick and Heisman winner.
Sure.
He's it's great. Sure. He's so good.
Sure.
I mean,
he's their pick, though. But yeah, Ohio State, obviously, best team in the Big Ten by far.
Yeah.
And
Purdue
they just could, yeah, just kill
them,
overcome it.
Too Purdue, little, too late.
Purdue went what 6-6?
Yeah, they
stomped them.
It's like, but like, it's funny, you know, that year Clemson lost to Pitt and won the national championship. Like, no one thought that, like, they made it, and that wasn't any controversy. But you're looking at like a one loss team here, and this is how good college football has become, and how good scheduling has become.
Do you think they're gonna start considering an eight team playoff?
I think this, by the way, this year you could have had an 18 playoff.
Yeah. And UCF would have made it.
I think at least a 16. I think.
I would like to see UCF get a shot.
Thank you.
I want to see a 16 playoff with the first two seeds getting a bye week. Listen, that's more relevant college football. Those first two bowl weeks, no one watches.
Yeah.
Because it's just not fun. Yeah. I don't want to watch like the New Era Bowl, then Pinstripes Bowl. Like, I don't want to see that.
Matter.
Why not make it a little more relevant and just have like a playoff matchup between the third versus sixth, fourth versus fifth. At the end of the day, it's about the fans, and the fans want this elongated playoff. Listen, the system has worked, as we've seen. We all prefer the playoff more than the bowl championship series. So why not just take it to the next level, build it up to six?
Yeah.
And then our final championship game we're going to talk about, we have the best one, one of the best stories of the year. We have Alabama versus Georgia.
What is it with the state of Georgia and blowing leads?
Yeah, that's twice in a row for Georgia.
Against Bama. Same stadium. Just flip the quarterback situation.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Jalen Hurts. Tip of the cap to him. That's a great story right there.
It is a great
story.
It
really looked like he worked on his throw. His throws were on the money.
Klopp brought that up the other day. He was like, yeah, listen. This kid not only stayed, but he worked on his craft, which is the most important part of the story. Like, you can't give up. And he's going to have a ton of offers next year as a graduate transfer. I could see him going to any big-time school.
And not only did Tua get hurt and bench in this game. He did not play well when he was in.
If he doesn't, if Hurts does not come into that game, I don't think they win that game.
I agree. If Tua does not get hurt and Saban keeps him in, I think they lose. Yeah.
Unless this game is impressive. It was a home game for Georgia, basically, and like to go into that environment and just get the job done. You're looking at a team. Not only is it probably the most likely winner of this year's playoff, but you can get into that conversation.
You would have had Georgia over Clemson?
In what sense?
Like, you said that whoever wins is the most likely winner of this year's playoff. You would have had Georgia beat Clemson?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think Clemson has been under-tested this year, and I think they've gotten too used to this little, like, cupcake through 12 games and then get blown out in your 2-versus-3 game in the playoff. Right. But obviously, since Alabama won, they're going to most likely win the playoff, and the question becomes, where does this team rank all time? Not looking at the big picture of college football.
I think this has got to be up there.
It's got top 5 team of all time.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
they got the defense.
They're
and
going to be undefeated.
That offense.
They have 2 great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This hasn't been seen before. The last national championship contender that I used 2 quarterbacks, I believe, was either that LSU team a while back. They started off with 2 quarterbacks, the one that eventually lost in the national championship. Mm-hmm. Or the Michigan team with Tom Brady. They used a 2-quarterback system, and they won it all.
I mean, you just got to do that split backfield thing. You don't know who they're going to hike it to. Alabama came back, and they did it. And that crushed Georgia's playoff hopes. We have the new playoff picture, the final playoff picture coming out. Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Oklahoma 4. And what do you guys think about that?
Listen, based off what the committee has said all year, that makes sense. However, I really have to disagree. Like, I saw this post on Instagram. Overall strength of resume, like, I don't think, like, it's even a question. Listen, they have the same number of wins, but the points per game differential for Ohio State has been more dominant
this
year.
This is Oklahoma versus Ohio State.
Yes, this is Oklahoma versus Ohio State. And overall in the season, you know, it's always been the narrative, oh, Ohio State hasn't been dominant. Well, by numbers, they've been more dominant than Oklahoma has. They're undefeated against top 25 teams. They have a better defense than Oklahoma, and they obviously have a better strength of record. They have a better, like, win, and they have a better, like, and they have better key wins. At the end of the day, it just came down to losses. And this is what the playoff committee has been saying all these years. It's what are you at your worst? Which teams have the highest floors? And that's why Notre Dame is number 3 in the playoff, because their floor is very high. Their ceiling might not be, but their floor is very high.
I think they got it right. I think Oklahoma's 1 loss, and it was a close loss, rivalry game.
And they
always,
and
they always
beat,
play each other
and
tough.
They beat
and
the
they
team.
Came back and beat them with a wide margin. And I just think Ohio State, that 1 loss was just...
Yeah, that killed them.
They also beat Maryland by 1 and struggled.
Probably
should have
lost that game.
Yeah.
But, like, honestly, I
did forget how close they played Nebraska.
Yeah. It's just, like, there was a stretch there where they were
playing
really
poorly. Oklahoma also only beat, like, Army by a touchdown, right? At the beginning of the year.
Late season games always
They also beat a great UCLA team. Week 2.
I think... No, listen, at the end of the day, like, I personally think putting in Ohio State would have been a way more entertaining matchup, but...
I think they got it right, though.
I respect their decision. Obviously, if you're a college football team watching, like, you've got to schedule easy opponents because they just care about your work. They only care about your worst loss, so make sure if you're going to lose, you're losing to a top 25.
I also think that Oklahoma was ahead of Ohio State going to that game, and if they win that game, there's no way Ohio State playing an inferior opponent than what Oklahoma's playing should jump them.
I think the fact that Georgia's 5 though really surprised me. I mean, I
lost Georgia.
That basically told me that the argument was really between Oklahoma
and Georgia.
Not they just didn't they counted out Ohio State, which listen, they ranked them at 10 that time once they lost to Purdue, which was obviously disrespectful. We've talked about it many times on the show.
You have talked about it, yes.
But, like, they couldn't move them up after the narrative they've created all season. And, listen, I respect that. For the first time ever, the playoff is actually creating a narrative week by week that actually makes sense to everyone.
And speaking of Ohio State, we have the news. Urban Meyer Is he set to retire, or is he just stepping down from the Ohio State job?
He's retiring from coaching.
Yeah, he's
done. I think that Alabama old coach internship program should give him a call.
He is done with college football, with coaching, after the Rose Bowl this year, and someone play some sad violin music for Jade of here.
You know what? Like, by the way, I think it's great that he's playing the Rose Bowl for his final game. You know, one of the quotes I've actually... One of the sound bites that everyone knows from Urban Meyer is the fact that he said, like, one of the Bulls games he always wanted to play in was the Rose Bowl, and he's never really had the opportunity because he's usually either in the playoff or the Rose Bowl is the playoff game.
Right.
So that's great that his final game can be the one that he wanted to play the most. And, listen, he's one of the greatest college football coaches at all time. I'm going to read you some of this.
Oh,
the Florida days.
The Florida team stats.
No, so he had 3 national championships. Let's make that clear. That's an achievement right there. Winning 1 national championship in college football is hard, especially this is 3 national championships in the Alabama era.
Yeah.
So that's
the Saban era.
So so he's the second most dominant coach of our era.
Yeah.
Of college football. He's had a record in 17 seasons at 4 schools. He's had a record of 186-32. That is amazing.
186 and 32?
Yeah, that's very good. And he has the 3rd best winning percentage in FBS history.
Yeah. I mean, he is a good coach, and he is one of the greats. And
I think it's fitting he ended at Alabama because that's where his coaching career started, as a grad assistant.
At Ohio State.
At Ohio State. So it's, you know, it's like a full circle.
Yeah. I'm happy to see him go.
I think, listen, he's been very controversial.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
I think the issue with the assistant really got to him.
Yeah, where he was health wise, mentally, and physically, he just couldn't keep coaching a big power like Ohio State.
There's so much pressure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He just couldn't do it anymore. And listen, like he could have. I think. By the way, now let's talk. Greg Schiano not getting promoted. He was the associate head coach, and they decided, you know what, we're going to promote Ryan Day as assistant coach. Do you think that's disrespect to Schiano?
I just think the move nowadays is to have an offensive coach.
Yeah, like, and you have 1 game left. They're probably going to find someone new.
This is for next year. It's Ryan Day's going to take over next year. That is the offensive coordinator.
It's always fair to go for an offensive coach, especially nowadays.
The most important position is quarterback, and that helps your guy.
I think Schiano's going to bolt because, listen, he's had a great couple years. And I really think the main reason he wasn't promoted is because at the end of the day, when they do play the real offenses, i.e. in the playoff, they get routed, right? They lost. They got blown out and shut out in their biggest game. And I've read a lot of things that say, like, you know, Ryan Day was always considered like an Urban Meyer disciple.
And then finally, to wrap up college today, we're going to be going over our Heisman picks. And who do you guys have? I personally am going with my personal favorite, Kyler Murray.
I also have Kyler Murray. I feel like it was even with him and Tua going into last week, and Kyler really outperformed him.
Yeah, Tua fell apart.
I think that disrespect to Dwayne Haskins is insane. This man is having a career. So what happened? Lamar Jackson was never in the playoffs.
Lamar Jackson was dominant.
I just think it's hard to.
Lamar Jackson was
when you're not a running quarterback. Dwayne, it's hard because they get those running stats and passing stats.
Listen,
it's really tough.
First of all, Dwayne Haskins has more of an impact on football alone than Kyler and Tua have. At the end of the day, this man is going to be the number one pick. Probably he's ranked the number one quarterback.
This is a college award, though. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the NFL.
He broke every single Big Ten record. What more can you ask?
This is the same Big Ten that had
Drew Brees.
I think, Drew
Brees was in the Big Ten. I just wanted to note that. Write it down.
I think Kyler Murray carried one of the worst defenses.
That is true.
Single-handedly carried them to a playoff berth.
He also had arguably one of the biggest offensive minds in college football, Lincoln Riley.
And he outperformed Baker Mayfield. That's what he did.
He actually put up the same exact numbers as Baker Mayfield. And listen, Dwayne Haskins had to deal with so much controversy this year. He didn't have a good defense either, because if you remember, Nick Bosa left. He had
he still had a good defense.
Better than Oklahoma's.
Okay, but Oklahoma played in the weaker Big 12.
Oklahoma's 1 loss. Kyler Murray still had a great game. They still put up 45.
Dwayne Haskins not only had 500 yards against Northwestern, he played the game of his life against Michigan, a team fourth best passing defense
in the nation. Dwayne Haskins had 500 more yards. Guess how many more attempts he had?
But he had to carry his
team. He had 160 more attempts.
Kyler Murray is the definition of carrying his team.
I don't think he's carrying his team.
If they had an average offense, he would...
Kyler Murray...
He had so many...
Kyler Murray has 8. He has less interceptions. He has more TD. He has only 7 less TDs.
There was a game where they relied on... talk about carrying. There was a game where Dwayne Haskins had to throw the ball 72 times.
Dwayne Haskins' QB rating...
You also have to look at the running, too.
Dwayne Haskins' QB rating is 20 points less than Kyler Murray's.
Listen, the rushing is just not even close. Dwayne Haskins just go into every single place and just dominate. I mean, he doesn't have the offensive mind like...
He has Urban Meyer. That's an offensive mind.
No,
right there.
Urban Meyer, but not as much as Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is... think about it. The only reason I'm saying this is because, like, Dwayne Haskins has just been... He's been dominant the entire year. I agree with your point in the sense that, listen, he can't run the ball. And in the modern Heisman era, yeah, you have to be able to do both, which is kind of sad. But I think Dwayne's been playing so well all year. I want to see him win the Heisman because he had to put... his team on the back and deal with so much controversy. But you know what? I'll respect your opinion. Yeah. I think it's funny to note that, you know, the people who are voting, I heard this on ESPN. None of them submitted their ballot because they wanted to see Tua perform in the championship game. And I think that was very smart on their
part. Because that's a big game that you can...
It was like,
remember, and he fell apart.
Yeah, remember what we saw with Lamar Jackson, right? Lamar Jackson didn't... Remember when... If all those voters kept their ballots, Deshaun Watson would have won the Heisman that year.
Yeah,
clearly Deshaun Watson. It was just because, you know what, they all submitted their ballots early because they thought, oh, it's over.
And he started off just so fast.
I think this is a message for all Heisman races hopefuls for the year to come. Wait till the conference championship game and then submit your ballot. Because Tua could finish third.
And that was like his only close game of the year, and he really did not perform.
Yeah.
In the one close game they've had.
I mean, and listen... It's going to be close because you have to remember some people did submit their ballot early.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think a lot of them abstained. I mean, they're buying into the Kyler hype.
Right.
Final question. Should he stick with baseball or football?
Definitely baseball. While he might enjoy football more, that money, you just can't turn that down.
Well,
there's less risk of injury.
He should
baseball.
Commit to the draft, obviously, see what happens. Because if he, let's say he gets taken.
Does he have the right to, like.
Yeah, he can go to both. He can go to both. Yeah. And let's say he gets taken by a team, let's say like the Chargers, the Saints, so a team with an old quarterback.
Why would he wait 5 years to make big time money?
No, because I'm saying he plays in the MLB for a little while. He's not great. Let's say hypothetically he's not great.
Oh,
he has that chance that he can come back in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's already his bets.
I say he's already gotten that $10 million for a year.
Yeah, how high was he drafted? He was drafted like top 10,
like
right?
9, I think.
Yeah.
So I think he's got to contact his agent. They'll figure out a plan.
I hope he plays football.
Yeah, I would love to see that, but I just want
to. It'd be fun to see
take the money.
G-sport athlete.
Yeah, yeah. Another project.
I mean, it's really hard in the modern era, but
especially if you're a quarterback
with so much time.
But he's obviously going to use that ability to play either sport to leverage the other.
And catch us next week when we're breaking down all the bowl games in our bowl special.
And that is going to do it for our show tonight. Big thanks to Spencer Felix and Charlie Wong for coming on to talk about the Cowboys. And check out the other Chronicle podcasts, including Roundtable Rundown, which is a bunch more sports and some more general talk, and HW Goes Back to the Future, where some alumni are interviewed and talk about how things have changed since they came to school here. On behalf of Jadav and Alex, I'm Kyle Reams. Thank you for listening.
See you guys next week.
How about them Cowboys?